Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all alright, we're all alright. MTG in Quarantine Podcast. Hey, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. Before we get started here, I'd like to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find them on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. Huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming, that is inkedgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming, that's inkedgaming.com. Every purchase helps support the channel. The link is in the Linktree description, the link will be in the Linktree link below. Wow, I'm confusing myself. And every purchase helps support the channel, and it's greatly appreciated. All right, now that I've got my one mess up for the episode out of the way, I think it's time to get to the actual meat of the episode here. And without further ado, I would like to welcome a returning guest to the show to talk about more CDH deck techs. Welcome back to your Priscilla.
Hello, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be back.
Hey, no problem. I mean, as soon as I saw you were playing a different deck than the Minskin Boo Timeless Rangers that we were talking about a little while ago, I had to have you back on to talk about this particular deck, because this is very different, as I understand.
Oh, yeah. Very, very different.
Yeah, but before we get started here, Priscilla, how about you give yourself a quick shout-out and let all the folks at home know who you are and what you do?
Awesome. Yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm your Priscilla, at your underscore Priscilla on Twitter. I mostly just do CDH-related stuff. I will almost always be doing these, like, remote tournaments, either Mox Masters or Chaos now. I've been doing a bit more. And, yeah, I will usually be guesting on streams or doing tournament breakdown threads on there. I also recently wrote an article about one of my tournament like runs that I did, that's on Commander's Herald, so that was a very cool experience. Hopefully I get to do that more, but yeah, so go check me out there. And yeah, that's my shtick.
Nice, nice. Commander's Herald is a great group of people. Definitely go check them out if you haven't already. And again, they are kind of an offshoot of EDH Rec. So I believe Jason is running that, if I'm not mistaken.
I know Jake Fitzsimmons from there.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Fitzsimmons, yeah. And they're the one who kind of worked with me on that, but they're also a fellow Minskin Boo player, so that's how we kind of met and connected a little bit on there. So
yep, I've been meaning to have Jake on the show at some point, and never got around to it, but again, that was more of a time difference than anything. So anyway, get into back to the episode here today. So we're going to be talking about your Grixis Turbo list, and again, stop the presses if you've heard this one before. Grixis and CDH is actually really good, but but yeah. So we're going to be talking about Cormella Glamour Thief today, and Cormella came out of the Streets of New Capenna set last year. Just going to introduce the card here real quick. 2/4 Vampire Rogue, costing 1 in Grixis colors, so 1 blue, black, red. In that order, has haste, Pay one tap to add Grixis, and you can spend this mana only to cast instant and or sorcery spells. And when Cormella Glamour Thief dies, return up to one target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. So for the folks out there, you can probably see that this actually does a lot of work. And now, with that out of the way, I think it's time to learn exactly how this Grixis Turbo deck works. So, Priscilla, just walk us through what this deck is trying to do, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So, Cormella is kind of a unique Grixis commander in that you have a mana dork in the command zone, which is not something that Grixis traditionally has any kind of access to. Aside from your usual ad nauseam turbo strat that can also, you know, do Thassa's Oracle, Consult stuff, or Underworld Breach stuff, Cormella also functions as a combo piece in the deck for cards like Saw in Half, or Twin Flame, or kind of anything that can take advantage of her having both haste and her death trigger, which will be like returning one of those spells to your hand after they resolve. And there's a lot of like really unique and kind of overlapping lines in it, but yeah, when you see the list, most of it is just your generic turbo like Grixis ad nauseum type of deck with a handful of little splashings for the Cormella spice in it.
All right. So, walk us through some of what the deck is trying to do, some of those combos. Obviously, we've probably talked about some of these on the show already, but I want to hear more about how Cormella really advances your game plan versus other Grixis options.
Definitely. I like to think of Cormella, and I've talked with my friend Pike, who they topped Amox Masters a couple months ago with Rog'Sai. I've talked with them a lot about this list as well. I think of Cormella in the same vein as Rog'Sai, in that she provides you this mana advantage in the command zone that is kind of not what most Grixis decks or other Grixis decks are used to. Those combos that I had mentioned with Thaw in Half and Twin Flame kind of work with cards that you seemingly, you know, most people don't think are very like scary. The initial, like, the Saw in Half combo is, I'll just run through the combo.
Yeah, sure.
So let's say, you know, by it's turn two, turn three, you have Cormella online and you've already used your Demonic Tutor just to get, you know, one of whatever card, because everybody sees Demonic Tutor, and that could just be anything. And if you have access to Demonic Tutor, any kind of ritual, so usually either Dark Ritual or Rite of Flame, and then Saw in Half, those basically are just win the game combo in themselves. You tap Cormella for the 3 mana, cast Saw in Half, targeting Cormella, and if that resolves, Cormella will die, and then it will make 2 copies of Cormella, and then because of the legend rule, the other copy will die, so you'll effectively have 2 Cormella death triggers, which will get you back Saw in Half and whichever other combo piece you needed. So either if you've already used your Demonic Tutor, it'll get back your Demonic Tutor. If you have Demonic Tutor in hand and like a ritual in the grave, it'll get you back your ritual. And then you can do that loop to effectively make infinite mana for some of the mana will just be for instants and sorceries because of Cormella's little claws in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the remaining excess mana you make in that loop can be used to just tutor your entire deck. And then you can use that for Thassa's Oracle or Underworld Breach if you hit that first, and go through the usual Breach, LED, Brain Freeze kind of combos. You can also, there's a very cute in the same kind of vein and same loop, you can also just Praetor's Grasp your opponent's decks away and mill them out that way. If that
oh, nice. That works, kind too. Of,
yeah. So it's the saw in half was really what made this deck, like, possible. It just gave Cormella that extra... That line to, like, oh, I get to now recur two spells back off of one, and I can just start doing some loops. Like, it's just so good. Twin Flame works kind of similarly, and also kind of works with Dockside in a kind of Eternal Witness Dockside loop kind of way. Where...
Wait, Dockside is good? What?
Yeah, it's broken. Yeah, it basically, with Cormella, if you, was it Strive? Is that the technical name of the
yeah, the I think so. Yeah, because let's see, it does for every target, trying to find Twin Flame. Yeah, Strive.
Awesome. Yeah, with, like, Cormella, you can tap her, and she basically refunds you that Strive cost. And as long as Dockside can make enough mana, enough treasures... to recast the Twin Flame and one more for paying for Cormella's activation. So essentially, if you can make three treasures with Dockside, you can win the game making infinite Docksides with haste and go to combat and win. So those are two of the kind of unique Cormella lines that go along with all of the other normal Grixis lines that you might see in other decks.
Yeah, and it's interesting you brought that up again, because Cormella does have haste. I mean, that is not to be forgotten on there. And as long as you have one generic mana sitting around, like you said, with the Dark Rituals, with Rite of Flame, or just even a Dockside Treasure, the fact you're able to get the tap ability is nice. But then just that death trigger is really nice. I mean, like, Cormella is just like the total package for everything you really want in a Grixis commander.
Definitely. And... I also, I'm still learning Grixis. I will say, it's, you know, you mentioned I play Minskin Boo. I was just a diehard Gruul player. And so this is a very, very different deck than I'm used to. But from what I can feel, at least after trying out other Grixis options, I also am fairly confident that Cormella might be, like, one of the best, if not the best, intuition Grixis commander. Mm-hmm. The intuition pile, if you have Cormella online already, essentially just reads, I win the game. Like,
yeah, let's actually walk through the intuition line, because I'm not sure. I may have covered this when I had Cyrus from Mental Misplay on here to do the Blue Farm episode, but let's just review exactly what intuition does and opponents. How it's basically a loop.
So intuition, when you cast, it's two and a blue for an instant. You search your library for three cards, you reveal them to one of your opponents, and they decide which card goes to your hand and which two go into your grave. With Cormella, your pile here is, assuming all of these cards are still in your library, and if any of them in your hand, then it makes it even easier, I think. But your three cards normally would be Saw in Half, Culling. Oh my god! I need to remember the Culling the Week.
Culling the Week, Culling, yeah.
I always get that in Culling Ritual. Like,
yeah.
Mixed up, and I'm like, I need to remember this.
It's definitely Culling the Week, because otherwise you're definitely violating color identity there.
So Saw in Half, Culling the Week, and Ad Nauseam. This essentially just reads, if you give me Saw in Half, I get back both of the cards that you're not giving, or that you didn't want me to have. If you give me Culling the Week, I get back Ad Nauseam and the mana to cast Ad Nauseam.
If you give me Ad Nauseam, you just give me Ad Nauseam.
Yeah, so it's essentially just like, it's a no-lose scenario usually for Cormella, and...
Oh, that is devious. That is so devious.
Yeah, it's really sick, and every time I've gotten to do it, it's just been like everybody will sit there, debate a little bit, and then somebody will click and go, wait, it literally doesn't matter what we give you, we're just dead. And I'm like, unfortunately, that is the truth. I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. And plus, you also have the other intuition pile, like the more traditional intuition pile, typically with your brain freeze, LED, breach, thoracal, you know, something in that vicinity there. So it's like if this particular combo doesn't work out, you can still rely upon that kind of classic, I would say, intuition line.
Definitely. Yeah, the only downside of the classic intuition one is obviously, like, we don't have access to white, so not being able to Savine's back are, you know, for we need to get the breach out of there. But, you know, sometimes that happens, and it's just like a tough scenario anyway, but you can always just bounce back from it.
I mean, and that's what makes Grixis so good in CDH, as I understand, is the fact that you have all of the backup win conditions available, plus everything with your commander. So, I mean, you have a very, very, very resilient deck here, all things considered.
Definitely. And that's another thing I definitely enjoy with Cormilla, aside from having these sort of commander-focused win cons. I'm always a fan of having your generic win cons, but also having the little spice that people maybe don't see coming from your commander. But I really enjoy Cormilla's resiliency. When I picked up Grixis, I almost played Kess because of that reason of, oh, Kess, you know, if one of your ancestor sorceries, or yeah, one of, like, if any of your, like, if something is countered, you get to just try again. But with Cormilla, it just felt like I got a nicer blocker, or just as nice of a blocker, and I get to just do some cool stuff. I also happen to own the very pretty version of Saw in Half, like the Galaxy Foil one, so I was like, I'm gonna just do this. It's pretty, so
yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the fact that Cormilla can be tapped at instant speed too means that you don't have to rely upon Kess's timing rules, which ends up being sorcery speed, which is a little bit clunky depending on what you're trying to do. Definitely. Same thing I found out with 11 the Mage / Cecily. There's another one, but it's like you have to attack, and then you have to have another clause to be able to cast the card, whether that's Ad Nauz or Peer into the Abyss, typically. And it's like Cormilla gets around all that because you don't have to worry about the timing restriction so much. Yeah, that is really nice. Again, just that extra flexibility to be able to do the thing is really nice.
100%.
Okay, moving on. So again, you did mention this is kind of a Grixis good stuff pile, but you know, there's clearly cards in here that are either new or we haven't talked about already. Let's just kind of dive into a few of the things, but I think I want to start with the new Lord of the Rings cards. Let's talk about those. And I mean, I don't really know if they really, you know, set the deck apart or anything, but just figured I might as well talk about them because they're kind of the hot button topic for the week.
Definitely. The two I'm currently running, I think it's just the two, are the now very infamous Orcish Bowmasters. And I think it's very slept on Born Upon a Wind. This instant is, I mean, I think it's cracked. Every time I've gotten to use it so far, it's just been so good. For those listening, it's a one in a blue instant that gives all of your spells this turn flash, and it's also a cantrip, so it will draw you a card. This card not only turns your Necropotence basically into a second copy of Ad Nauseam, at instant speed and everything, but this can also just let you do goofy stuff. You can instant speed just, oh, I tapped Cormilla, leaving up the black mana from Cormilla's casting, or from her ability, cast Brain Freeze, or not Brain Freeze, Born Upon a Wind, cast Born Upon a Wind, and, oh, instant speed, Thoracle Consult, like over top of somebody else's win attempt, and that is always just ridiculously good. I think we saw at SCG there was the mono white deck that kind of made that full run nearly undefeated in they were undefeated in Swiss and then almost undefeated in the whole tournament, and they took it because of instant speed related shenanigans, and I think that is definitely kind of where things are gravitating, at least in terms of like catching people out or catching them by surprise. And Bowmasters is just Bowmasters. It's just good. It helps you stop the other people at your table from doing what you're trying to do. Gives you a nice blocker. It also works really well with our wheels package that we're running, as well as, which is actually something that most Cormella decks I've seen aren't currently on. Things like the Gnar set to turn off your opponent's benefit off of wheels, or Notion Thief, which is just draw a bajillion cards so your opponents don't. So adding that kind of package in here has been very good.
Yeah, I do agree with you with Born Upon a Wind there. It's like, this is a really, really good card. I made sure I picked up one copy for myself because I don't really know how many decks I have personally where it'll really slot in the more casual into things. But yeah, definitely in CDH, this I feel like this is the kind of spell where it might even get under the counterspell too. It's like, definitely. Are people going to actually want to counter this versus what you're going to play next?
Yeah, I at one of my tournament games recently, when I was playing Cormella, that's almost basically what happened, where I cast this during someone's turn, and everyone was like, all right, what is she about to flash in on us? Like, what is about to happen? And they didn't counter it, and then it turned out nobody had the counter magic to deal with the like, saw in half line that I was trying to go for. And I don't remember the specific scenario, but like what ended up happening, but everyone was like, this is weird that she gets to like demonic tutor at instant speed. Can anybody actually stop this now that it's rolling? And nobody could. And it just, yeah, having that extra everything in my deck is now an instant this turn is just crazy. Plus, like I said, with Necropotence, like if you have Necropotence on board already, this in hand, and even if you can just tap like Cormella, like you could cast this Necropotence for like 30, and then in your cleanup step, once you see all of these cards and you're going to discard, before you discard anything, just start slamming spells and just going off in your own end step. And it definitely adds I think we'll probably see this in a lot of other Grixis decks too, not just Cormella, but I think it's still a little early for some people to fully commit into this. Maybe I think I've seen some Rog'Sai lists running this, but I haven't seen other Grixis decks trying this yet.
Okay, but I mean, again, the set just came out, so you're right. It just hasn't been adopted fully yet. This is typically kind of the spot that Emergence Zone would have sat in, but I noticed it's not in your list, probably because it doesn't really help you trying to cast your commander or any of your spells. So, definitely. Yeah, this is a much better version of that, and you don't have to sacrifice a land, which is really nice. And it replaces itself. I mean, just how much value... why do they keep printing such good blue cards?
True, I agree.
Oh man, that is just brutal for non blue mages like myself. It's like, why? Please stop printing these. But but yeah, then I play CDH. It's like, this is the best card ever, and
yeah,
fun stuff. Yeah. Any other things about this deck you want to talk about before we adjourn?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's super duper fun. I would just say anyone who wants to give this deck a try, like, it's everything that you want out of a Grixis deck, plus getting to like really surprise people out of nowhere. There, a lot of my games that I've won with this deck have purely been like, oh, she just casted Arc Ritual. Like, that's like that could be scary, but like, oh, she just used that to get her commander out. Like, that's whatever. Oh, she demonic tutored for something. You know, that could be anything. That's pretty scary. But there, a lot of the time, it's game actions that people like tend to just see in the game and not think like, this is my death coming. And then you resolve a saw in half or an intuition or any of your or just like Dockside. If you could just be casting Dockside, and if it made enough treasures for you to get your commander out, then it's like, oh, like this could just mean everybody's dead. And that kind of surprise factor definitely steals some games from people when they don't really expect what's about to happen to them from all of that.
Yep, sounds like CDH.
Yeah.
Very complicated. A lot to keep track of.
100%.
All right, Priscilla, thank you so much for taking the time to come back on the podcast. It was fun hearing about Cormella. At some point, I guess I might as well start building my, I guess, more casual version of that card. I just kind of have a pile of cards sitting around. But this episode definitely gave me some ideas for, it's like, if I want to go a little bit higher end, I have a Born Upon the Wind, I have a Peer into the Abyss, I do actually own a copy of Ad Nauz. Could I just kind of do some broken, weird stuff? Just in a more casual setting, along with a bunch of like weird draft chaff instance, you know, and lightning bolt. I don't know, but you know, the gears start turning a little bit. So thank you, but again, thank you so much for walking me through the list. It was great having you.
Awesome, yeah, I'm really happy to be able to be on and talk about this. It's definitely been a really nice like learning experience, like getting to play Grixis and seeing how this kind of deck works. And it's also just, I don't know, it's just I encourage people to branch out of like what they're used to in CEDH and just give that Grixis deck a try, give an Esper deck a try, just give other things that you might not be used to a try, because it just helps you become a better player.
Definitely. All right, if you're interested in hearing Priscilla's previous episode on Minsk and Boo, you're interested in hearing any of the previous CDH deck techs I have done, or you're just interested in hearing my silky smooth announcer voice on any episode from the MTG and Quarantine back catalog, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That's your Googles, Apples, Spotify, Player FM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I don't remember all of them, but if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my content on there. You can also find me on the Twitters at MTG in Quarantine. Again, at the end of the episode here, I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTG in Quarantine. Huge round of thank yous again to Mr. Big Bents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTG in Quarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.